I appreciate many of the members. I appreciate this little pause we had. It gives us all time to kind of reflect, and really it's all about the beauty of this country, whether we agree or disagree, and because we all love this country and we love this state. And I think the most important thing for me out of that, it wasn't a speech or any of those things, but it was when two presidents shook hands and embraced each other. And to me, I think it was worth taking the time to see that. And so I appreciate your indulgence in that. Okay, we are on that order of business of reading and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 173.
House Bill 173, introduced by Representative Nicholas. Paramutual events, distribution of fees.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to paramutual wagering.
House Bill number 173 is referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 177.
House Bill 177, introduced by Representative Burkhart. Collection costs for debts owed to the state.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the collection of debts due the state or other governmental entities.
House Bill 177 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 170.
House Bill 170, introduced by Representative Wilson. Healthcare facility, licensure fees.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to healthcare facilities.
House Bill 170 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 172.
House Bill 172, introduced by Representative Miller. Severance tax exemption.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to mine product taxes.
House Bill 172 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 180.
House Bill 180, introduced by Representative Wilson, vital record fees.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to vital records.
House Bill 180 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 189.
House Bill 189, introduced by Representative Harshman, higher education, non-resident tuition.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to higher education.
House Bill 189 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 190.
House Bill 190, introduced by Representative Harshman. Hathaway Reserve Account.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to higher education and public funds.
House Bill 190 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 191.
House Bill 191, introduced by Representative Harshman. Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education.
House Bill number 191 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill 61, introduced by Representative Claussen, collection of antlers and horns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill number 61 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 174.
House Bill 174, introduced by Representative Clem, Game Roadkill.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 174 is referred down the road to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 161.
House Bill 161, introduced by Representative Pelkey, Divorce, Residency.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic relations.
House Bill 161 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175.
House Bill 175, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer, elected officials' salaries.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state officials' salaries.
House Bill 175 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill 186, introduced by Representative Kirkbride, Improvement and Service Districts Services.
First reading of the bill.
an act relating to improvement and service districts.
House Bill 186 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 181.
House Bill 181, introduced by Representative Larson, Government Contracts, Labor Organizations.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public works and contracts.
House Bill 181 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 182.
House Bill 182, introduced by Representative Gray, Abortion, Ultrasound Information.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 182 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
House Bill 75, introduced by Representative Byrd, Automatic Restoration of the Right to Vote, an act relating to criminal procedure. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 75, Automatic Restoration of the Right to Vote, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Ponell, Salazar, Winters, signed Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. House Bill 91, introduced by Representative Lone, Alimony Termination, an act relating to domestic relations. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 91, Alimony Termination, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Ponell, Salazar, Winters, excused Representative Pelkey, signed Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. House Bill 28, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, approved depositories for public funds, an act related to public depositories. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 28, approved depositories for public funds, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, Zwanitzer. Noes, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 29, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Deposits by Political Subdivisions, an act relating to public funds. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 29, Deposits by Political Subdivisions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Lindholm, Sweeney, Zwanitzer. Noes, Representatives Furphy and Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 44, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Board of Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors, an act relating to professional engineers and land surveyors. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 44, Board of Professional Engineers and Land Surveyors, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. House Bill 52, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. governmental immunity, cooperative public transportation, an act relating to governmental claims. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 52, Governmental Immunity, Cooperative Public Transportation, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cork, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. House Bill 65, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Public Safety Communications Reorganization. An act relating to the Public Safety Communications Commission. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 65, Public Safety Communications Reorganization. Respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cort, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. House Bill 78, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Salvage title, updates. An act relating to motor vehicle certificates of title. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 78, Salvage Title Updates, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass, with the following amendment. Ayes, Representative Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cort, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. House Bill 117, introduced by Representative Steinmetz, Operation of Motorboat While Intoxicated, an act relating to watercraft. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 117, Operation of Motorboat While Intoxicated, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cort, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. House Bill 120, introduced by Representative Summers. Maximum Speed Limit Petition, an act relating to the regulation of motor vehicles on highways. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 120, Maximum Speed Limit Petition, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Cort, Crank, Edwards, Piperinen. Noes, Representatives Eklund and Laux. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 70. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 70, introduced by Federal Natural Resource, Occupational Safety and Health Administration Actions, an act relating to the administration of government.
House Bill 70, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 80.
House Bill 80, introduced by Representative Zwanitzer, Transportation Network Companies, an act relating to motor vehicles.
We have amendments on. House Bill 80, we have an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Simple amendment that brings us more in line with model language on the definition on page 8, lines 9 through 10, getting rid of provides pre-arranged rides and inserting is a transportation network company driver or otherwise used as a vehicle to transport riders for compensation that brings it in more specifically. And I'll stand for questions on the amendment, but this is model language. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Zwanitzer. We have a battery malfunction on the corner mic, so we'll pause. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a friendly amendment that takes it more in line with the Model Act.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first question being called on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 80? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 80 has been adopted. House Bill 80 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 92.
House Bill 92, introduced by Representative Larson. Payment of wages upon termination, time limits, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 92, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96. There is an amendment. Representative Sweeney. I'd like to pause for a minute. I got a little ahead of myself. We need to actually read the bill a second time. So the reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 96, introduced by Representative Greer. Microbrewery permits, an act relating to microbrewery permits.
Thank you. Representative Sweeney, on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is the exact same language as was voted down yesterday. I would certainly urge you to vote in favor today. This, I don't want to see the entire bill not be passed because it does encompass some good language. But if you think about it, there is another major brewery to the south of us that one of their emblems is a bicycle that has a plump tire on it. And they, my understanding is they're not very friendly to coal, but they would certainly, if this amendment does not go through, they, in particular, would be very interested in these satellite breweries. So I would truly urge you to think about this and vote in favor of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Crank.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I would like to comment on the same thing. I think the amendment yesterday was opposed to. I'm fine with it. Excuse me. The bill I was opposed to when the amendment got pulled. I'm in favor of the amendment and in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else for their first time?
Mr. Speaker.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm rising in support of the amendment. Being on the Minerals Committee, this is the right thing to do, and please vote yes.
Chairman Greer.
Mr. Speaker, my first for a second.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Anyone else? Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I just urge the body to think about this one, and we don't. The last thing we want is that kind of unfair competition for our craft brewers. and it definitely would be total unfair competition by some of the majors. I urge your support.
The question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 96 pass? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The amendment has been adopted. House Bill 96, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 131.
House Bill 131, introduced by Representative Sweeney. Disposition of lottery proceeds, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery.
There is an amendment. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 131 and ask for your favorable consideration. Brothers and sisters, the 64th, what this amendment does is eliminate a little bit of the confusion, a little bit of the concerns that we heard from yesterday on this particular bill. It still gives the opportunity for municipalities and counties to gain a little bit of extra funding if we hit that $6 million cap from the lottery proceeds, and it provides that split, and it still provides some of that split to school foundation as well. So what this amendment does is a 50-50 split on anything that's up and over $6 million. With that, I will stand for any questions.
Any other members? Representative Mr. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand on in support of this amendment. I think this kind of gets to what the good bringers of the bill wanted, but at the same time preserves that grand bargain that was created with the lottery, that there would at some point be a split, that it would include education. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, support this amendment. It's a great way of making sure the little bit of money keeps flowing back into the education account. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We would not have objections to this amendment.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Chairman Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to join in a love fest. I don't like this amendment, and we'll oppose it. I think when we start to looking at funding for education, we are going to be rolling up our sleeves and dealing with it. And at the same time, we look at the cuts that we're making, and when we see the supplemental budget come in, we are cutting services, we're cutting grants to our locals, and we're going to continue to push some of our cuts are going to trickle on down to our locals, to our cities, towns, and counties. And this is a good message to send that, hey, these funds, if they continue to pick up, can go into that pot. Because I assure you, if we solve our education funding issues, it's going to also be having an impact on our locals. And we need to solve that separately and seriously. So I oppose this amendment.
Anyone else? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Speaker. On and against this amendment, in regards to the $6 million that we're looking at, that's our trigger point according to this amendment. Well, we're not even close to $6 million right now. Why are we going to set up this trigger point for this long away time? I mean, the lottery would actually have to, almost quadruple in size in order to get to that aspect. So on and against the amendment, I think it's tying the hands of the future.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to remind the body, some of you weren't here but know the impact was about 6-8 years ago that we took a tax off of a particular product that we consume. And part of the deal with that was we would make up for some of that somehow. Well, while this is not making up for it, it still has a potential. So I think that and those folks are still asking us, when are you going to make that up? So think about that in the context of what we've taken away and what we continue to push down on other levels of government. I would say this is not necessary because of the dollar amounts, but also keep in mind just the practical things that we did already that this sends a message towards. Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against this. I'm not against the idea of identifying more funds for education and that sort of thing. But I believe that we need to consider seriously when we're looking at this how much we may be inadvertently tying or constraining the decision making at the local level. So on and against this, thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Flintner.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm torn. I represent education, and I represent our municipalities. So it's a tough decision. My good representative in the corner brought up a good point, but I feel like this is a good balance. It's a little give and take. I think we need to bolster our communities or municipalities because I feel like when we're looking at changing education funding, in all likelihood, we'll probably be going back to an older model where our communities bought into building of infrastructure. So if we can help our municipalities, I think we're making them stronger, we're making our communities stronger, and we're all going to be in this together. So I'm in support of this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to urge the body not to be torn by this. We're just over 2 million, as I remember, as far as what we have distributed to local governments. All of us will be in our final resting place before we get to $6 million. So it really doesn't matter whether you're for this amendment or you're against it.
With that in mind, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't follow that up in any sense of the imagination, but I would back what the chairman says. When I asked my city what they were doing with the payouts from the lottery, they says they don't even budget for it because it isn't determined, and it's nice to have whenever they have shortfalls. So I wouldn't lose any sleep.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't sleep at night anymore lately anyway. But I guess I'd ask you to oppose the amendment only because in our budgets right now we tend to keep education funding separate from anything that goes in the general fund. And with this amendment, you have a weird revenue stream that, you know, may give $1 million someday. We're facing, what, a $400 million deficit per year right now. That $1 million, you can see the tangible results in your cities and towns. I don't know if you'd actually see any kind of tangible results when it gets put in the common school fund.
Representative Obermiller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I look at the potential of the reaching the $6 million, that'll only happen if the counties and cities work real hard and are creative and stay engaged in that. And so if they ever get to that point, I say let them have the money. I'm for the bill and against the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any of the five members who have not spoken for the first time, would you like to speak? I say that kiddingly, but appreciate the debate. Good debate. Anyone for the first time? Anyone for their second time? Before the sponsor. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And once again, I don't disagree with the last speaker, except when we kind of put this whole thing together, which I'll admit I didn't support to begin with, we kind of agreed that there would be this split. So then there's the cap of the $6 million and the fact that this may never occur in our lifetime of our grandkids' lifetimes. We'll reach that cap. Remember, we can always change the policy in the lottery to create more games and create more money. So don't be fooled that in the future we couldn't have more money sitting there if games didn't change. So that's also a policy decision we could make down the road. I still think this is a good amendment and a good way to preserve that intention that was in the original lottery bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm reversing my position after hearing such great debate from some of my much more experienced colleagues, being a newbie at this, but I would urge you not to support this because it really doesn't make a tinker's
Thank you. Anyone else for their second time? Anyone else second time before the sponsor? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, a couple of the concerns, I think this has been great debate here. You know, we're talking about tying the hands of future, and this may never hit. I think the good representative over from the western side of the state brought a good point here that we may not have $6 million that we're hitting right now, but by goodness, don't you dare be afraid that we couldn't look at bringing in some new games or some new opportunities here and bringing in some more revenue into this account, and again, bringing in some more funding for education. So I think that's a great idea. The other thing this amendment does, ladies and gentlemen, is this really brings in the opportunity for these municipalities and these counties to promote this. Right now, there is absolutely zero incentive for them to promote this lottery because once they hit that $6 million cap, they're done. They get absolutely nothing off of this. This is a good, easy, common sense consensus that allows 50% of those funds, once we do hit that $6 million, not if, when we hit that $6 million, this allows us to split that equally between the counties and the municipalities as well as school foundation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 131. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number one has failed. Having been read, House Bill 131 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 142.
House Bill 142, introduced by Representative Connolly, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Healthcare Facilities, an act relating to the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act.
House Bill 142, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're on that order of business of bills on third reading consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 13, House Bill 18, House Bill 33, House Bill 45, and House Bill 59.
Would any member wish to have any bill removed from the consent list? I would ask the reading clerk to read the bills on consent list.
House Bill 13, introduced by Representative Madden. Investment of Public Funds, an act relating to investment of public funds, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 18, introduced by Judiciary, child abuse or neglect in military families, an act relating to child protection, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 33, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Non-Resident Motorboats, Gasoline Tax Distribution, an act relating to gasoline taxes, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 45, introduced by Appropriations, Judicial Branch Budget Processes, an act relating to courts, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 59, introduced by Appropriations, Higher Education Fiscal Procedure Amendments, an act relating to education, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, The question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Flitner. Freeman. Furphy. Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Loan.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Piperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Closing vote. 59 aye, 1 excused. As per House Bill 13, are there any changes? Larson Dan, aye to no. Summers? Oh, sorry. Are there any other changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As per House Bill 18, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As per House Bill 33, are there any changes? Walters, aye to no. Northrup, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Loan, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Flitner, aye to no. Gray, aye to no. Olson, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Winters, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Salazar, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Henderson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 36 aye, 23 no, 1 excused. As per House Bill 45, are there any changes? Closing vote. Vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As per House Bill 59, are there any changes? Gray, aye to no. Closing vote. Vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 13, House Bill 18, House Bill 33, House Bill 45, and House Bill 59 have passed the House. We're at that order of business now of third reading regular list bills for final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 8, introduced by Education, Student Data Privacy, Security, and Transparency, an act relating to education. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 30, introduced.
House Bill 8, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley. Haley. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
House Bill 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 8 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 30.
House Bill 30, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, State Parks and Sites Fees, an act relating to state parks, historic sites, archaeological sites, and recreation areas. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 30, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards. Or Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Giroux.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Aye. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
Aye. Jennings?
No.
Kinner?
Aye.
Kirkbride?
Aye.
Larson Lloyd?
Aye.
Larson Dan?
No.
Lindholm?
No.
Lone?
Aye.
Laux?
Aye.
McGuire?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
McKim?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
No.
Obermuller?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Paxton?
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Pieperinen?
No.
Pawnell?
Aye.
Salazar?
No.
Schwartz?
Aye.
Summers?
Aye.
Steinmetz?
No.
Sweeney?
Aye.
Walters?
No.
Wilson?
Aye.
Winters?
No.
Zwanitzer?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
Are there any changes? Laux? Aye. To no? Hunt?
Aye.
To no? Burkhart?
Aye.
To no? Larson Lloyd?
Aye.
To no? Are there other changes? Closing vote? Vote is closed. 42 aye, 17 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 30, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 30 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 50. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 50, introduced by Representative Larson. Limitations on delegates, Constitution Amendment conventions. An act relating to a convention for proposing amendments to the United States Constitution. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 50 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Friends, I wasn't planning on bringing this. I really thought someone else was. But since no one else did, I figured we should have some more conversation than we did on general file on this bill. Basically, what the bill does is put restrictions and sets out how we would appoint delegates to a convention. And so I guess I have 3 points I'd like to make, or maybe some questions I'd like to throw out there. I did vote in favor of both of these constitutional conventions, but I still have some concerns. So I guess my first and overall concern is we're being really premature with this. We haven't had a constitutional convention called. And if we do, I would imagine we'd probably have a special session. I mean, if we really got that many states that were going to, in fact, have one of these conventions, I think we'd be called in and we'd go over again the rules and the role and everything that would be going along with this. And so this action and this bill to already set the framework in our law, I just think is premature. The second big point I'd like to make is it asked you to swear an oath. And so, as a legislator, I swear an oath to the Constitution, both of the state and the federal government. I just don't feel it's appropriate that I have to swear another oath to this body, I suppose, which brings me to my next point. If you look, the delegates to this convention are going to be legislators. And for some reason, I haven't quite figured out why, besides hubris, I guess, we're going to have our delegates to one of these conventions be legislators. So 3 members of the House and 3 members of the Senate. And not that that's not great, because I like all of you and most of the people down the hall, but I have to believe there's some other qualified people in Wyoming. And so before we take the step of it's going to be 3 members of this body serving in this convention, I'm just not sure. I personally believe that's appropriate. You know, they could be former members of the House. They could be other elected officials of the state, historians, academics. I just don't think we want to limit ourselves at this point. Before we know which type of convention it is. I mean, it could be a balanced budget. It could be a single subject. It could be any number of other ones. And maybe it's great that we have a framework in our law, but I still go back to having to believe that if this actually would occur, we would have another procedure and we would all come together and we would sit down at that point and make rules and have the discussion and get really serious. And And not that this isn't a serious subject and a serious bill, and maybe it's just me that I've kind of been, you know, thinking this was a pipe dream, and other people, I think, testify this was a gravest concern to the Republic at this point, and I'm not quite there. I don't think the media is quite there, because I've looked in the paper for the last 2 weeks, and they haven't covered any of this constitutional convention thing. So that would be my argument, and maybe some questions to throw out there is, why are we taking this step now? Why would we make an oath that we have to swear? And if we violate that oath, we have a 5-year felony. And I've looked them through other states, and most are 3. Why we would put a felony on a member of this body seems somewhat inappropriate. The felony for violating my oath to the state constitution is just never getting to serve in office again. But if I violate this oath, I get to go in jail for a felony for 5 years, which seems a little strong. And I guess I'd like someone to explain why they have to be legislators, why we would, set in our law now the presumption that the best people to go to a constitutional convention are, in fact, ourselves. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In regards to our on against this amendment, I'm curious if the situation was that wanted some amendments and changes, I guess I would have thought that the amendment would have been more than delete the enacting clause. So take that into consideration. Listen, we're at 28 states for this balanced budget amendment, 28 states right now that have called for that petition. You need this piece of legislation in place if you think that this is going to keep these delegates in line, which this is statutory, so this is better than what we looked at yesterday. If there are concerns that need to be brought forward, then I suggest we can bring them forward. But they weren't brought forward in an amendment process, so I'd suggest that's how we handle that. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Edwards.
I would support the amendment. As you already know, and I'm not going to belabor it, I don't want to have a constitutional convention. I'm afraid what we might end up with, and the U.S. Congress will be the one that decides how and what amount of delegates each state will have, and it won't be this body here. We might get to choose. Maybe we won't get to choose who the delegates are.
Anyone else? Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment for the bill, the amendment is very intriguing, and also some of the commentary, seeing the debate that we had yesterday about the contents of this particular bill and the desire to amend the contents of this bill into another bill, because it is exactly the kind of sideboards that are necessary and very important. And so I also find it very interesting that one would be a little afraid of taking an oath, primarily because we all stood here just 2 weeks ago and took an oath to uphold and defend the constitutions of the United States and of Wyoming as we took our place in the seats of this body. I think it's a very important thing that one lives by their word, and I think that the oath as outlined in this particular bill is an excellent one for the responsibilities that would be given to the individual that would go. Thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Larson Dan.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm against this amendment, obviously, and for the bill. This is so important. We need to send, I think we can send our delegates from our house in the Senate, and the other body can send theirs. There will be experts at this convention. The whole nation will be watching this. They may even have panels describing, situations, so we'll all be able to hear, good ideas. But this body can send good people. I do want to remind you, this is not a constitutional convention. It's a convention of states, and that's who is going. It's the states. There'll be one vote per state on against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Henderson.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm against the bill, and I guess that makes me in favor of the amendment. But here's my thought. We have freedom of speech, freedom of expression, the very things that we took an oath to support. And so here we are with specific, I think, constraining and unnecessary legislation proposed to handcuff our speech at a very important event, whatever you call it. And I don't think we need to amend it to death to remember that the Constitution is the basis of what we're trying to support. So for the amendment, against the bill.
Any other members for your first time? For your second time before the sponsor? Second time before the sponsor. Sponsor, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I appreciate the discussion one more time. I know we had a lot of discussion on both the previous resolutions, but I don't think we really talked about this much. And it probably is a mea culpa on my part that I've just had too much going on to try to throw some amendments and have some more discussion with the last couple of days on those other two, that this one just kind of got lost in the shuffle. And I'm certainly not taking sides. I voted for it. I think it's good. It'd be great if we call one of these. I'm just saying I think this is premature. So a couple points I'd like to make, because maybe they just keep irking me. I don't care if 28 states have done this. I don't care if we're the first, if we're the 49th. We as a body should say, hey, how is this going to work if we're the first state or if every other state has already planned it out? It doesn't matter to me. We're six states away from something exciting happening. I would still submit to you, if something actually happens, we're going to come back for a couple days or for a week, and we're going to figure all this out, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-200-and-some-year event. And I just don't think we want to be, I shouldn't say stuck, but have the current language be the basis in our law of this is what we're going to operate from. And you're right, I could have amended it. I do feel that it's been, how do I say it? I think there's six or eight people in this body on both sides and have gone through this, where the rest of us have kind of just been content to sit back and watch. But I do think now, before it's third reading and we're going to vote on something, hopefully you read it one more time and say, is this really the process we want to put in our law about how this would work? And I would submit to you that even if it's pretty darn close, it's not perfect yet. And I would say that we would come back and we would make it perfect if we actually get to this point. But doing putting this legislation at this point is just premature. I think there's a lot of things we didn't talk about. It's my fault we didn't talk about some of them. I just thought other people would bring it up, and it just got to third reading quickly on me. So at this point, I would remove third reading amendment number one and ask for you to vote no on the bill.
Having been House Bill 50, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
No.
No. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
No.
No. Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd.
No.
No. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
No.
No. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Air.
No.
Flintner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
No.
No. Furphy.
No.
No. Garou.
No.
No. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Aye. Haley.
No.
No. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
No.
No. Hunt.
Aye.
Aye. Jennings.
No.
No. Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Aye. Lindholm.
Aye.
Aye. Lone.
Aye.
Aye. Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
Aye. McKim.
Aye.
Aye. Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Paxton. Aye. Pelkey, excused. Piperinen.
No.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Air. No to aye. Furphy. No to aye. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 33 ayes, 26 noes, 1 excused.
House Bill 50, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 50 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 63.
House Bill 63, introduced by Representative Barlow, Game Animal Licenses, Limitations, an Act Relating to Game and Fish, be enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 63, and if I may, I would explain why. So what we did is we realized when we went through the first part of the process on this bill that it was difficult to read and understand. And so what we think that this amendment does is clean that up and make it easier to understand. And so what it does is it specifies, it separated these two species, the grizzly bear and the mountain goat, in the statutes and have them in different subsections so that there's a very clear understanding and a reading that these two are not, that we won't confuse the two. So what we've done here is currently in the statutes, both of these species are a once-in-a-lifetime tag. The department that manages the fishes and the wildlife came to us and said that they have a specific issue where they need an additional wildlife management tool to manage these mountain goats that have wandered into areas where they're not desirable. They put the other species like the bighorn sheep in at peril, and so they kind of like to separate these two species. And so what we've done, if you look in your amendment on line 14 through 17, through 17, what this does is on the last line, line 16, after the word year, it begins and it says, except as otherwise provided by the commission. What that will do in the statute is allow the commission to address these issues as they arise in certain areas of the state so that the commission, if they decide to, they can issue a general goat license to a holder or to a purchaser and have that not invoke the once-in-a-lifetime statute for that mountain goat species. So in other words, a hunter could draw a once-in-a-lifetime goat license in some of the areas where the department desires to have goats, and that would be the last time that hunter would ever have a license in a limited quota area, which is the special draw areas. However, in these other areas, as provided by for in this law and by the commission rule, they could also hunt a general goat without after they've already gotten a tag in the limited quota area. I hope I haven't messed you up, but if there's any questions, I'll sure stand for those.
Anyone for their first time? Second time, Chairman? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 63. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number one has been adopted. House Bill 63, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman. Biteman? No. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Blitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux. No. McGuire.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey excused. Piperinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Crank. Aye to no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 63. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 63 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, your first three bills up this morning are going to be House Bill 32, House Bill 73, House Bill 88. There's a blue sheet in your inbox that lists all the bills that we'll get to later this afternoon. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Representative Olson.
I was going to see how long you could clap for, but the Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for your consideration is House Bill 32. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 32, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Ski Safety Act. An act relating to skiing. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 32, Ski Safety Act respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Flitner, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire. Noes, Representatives Klim, Freeman, Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill number 32 do pass, and I further move the Standing Committee Amendment number 1. And to floor manage the bill, we have Representative, the one that lives over by the really tall mountains. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garou.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 64th, I rise with pleasure today to present to you House Bill 32, the Skier Safety Act. This was an interim committee bill from your committee number 6 and had hearings, vigorous hearings, all around the state of Wyoming. It comes from a group representing all 10 ski resorts around our great state, most of whom I'd like to point out are small mom-and-pop operations. They're working on the margins and working together to try to build an industry, a key component of our hospitality industry. Given the volume of skiers in Wyoming, close to 1 million total, the Ski Safety Act is needed to definitely to define better the inherent risks involved in skiing. Courts have recognized the need for more precise definitions in this industry. The Ski Safety Act does not change Wyoming's policies about the inherent risks of outdoor activities and industries, but merely provides more definition for this industry. It expands on the current but much less specific Recreational Safety Act. This act sets out clear duties of ski area operators. Clearly enacts and exacts what consists the inherent risks of skiing and makes those risks clear to skiers. All 10 ski operators in Wyoming support this bill. And now, if I can, I'd like to walk you through the bill itself and the Standing Committee member and the Standing Committee amendment. If you start, just the bill describes those risks on pages 1 and 2, defines the duties of ski areas and skiers in the following pages. And then if I can, I would like to direct you to page 13 for the Standing Committee Amendment, which deletes section 1 on line 17, or starting at line 19, actually, deletes that there to the end of the page and the whole page that follows. This bill, like I say, clearly defines the inherent risk of skiing and the duties of ski operators and skiers, and I would be glad now to stand for your questions.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like my colleague, it gives me great pleasure to stand up here and ask you to vote no on this bill.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. We need to move the amendment before we can discuss the bill, please.
It was moved, good representative from here in Laramie County.
Call.
Representative Klim, are you discussing the bill or the amendment? The amendment? The bill. Okay, then we will at this time vote on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment carries. Representative Klim.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, we'll begin again here. Members, let me just give you some background. This is an interim committee a topic that we looked at throughout the interim, and it was feisty all the way through. We have an existing act. It's called the Recreation Safety Act, in which it defines inherent risk. We were told by a particular association that involves skiing that they needed this bill for a couple different reasons. The big one is that their insurance rates would go down if they had this bill. And over the course of the interim, we heard by way of testimony that, in fact, their insurance rates over the last 10 years have gone down already without this bill. They turned around and they said, listen, we want this bill to further define inherent risk so that when we go to summary judgment, or when we ask for a summary judgment, that they can toss the case out and thereby not kick this thing to a jury, which would cost more money. Now, the other side of that coin is, how many of these cases have been brought forward? And the answer was very few, because, in fact, a lot of times summary judgment is granted based already on the existing Recreation Safety Act. And, in fact, what this bill would actually do was prohibit claimants from actually going to court and hearing their case, which, by the way, we have a constitutional right to do, to be heard by a jury of our peers. Furthermore, there's a question of whether this thing is really constitutionally sound. We get in Article 3, Section 27, and this is a special laws and local laws prohibited. And one of those things in there is for limitation against civil actions, which indeed that's what this bill does. Again, the existing Recreation Safety Act works. It defines inherent risk. Furthermore, it goes on in Section 20, or Article 3, Section 27, talks about granting to any corporation, association, or individual the right to lay down railroad tracks or any special or exclusive privilege, immunity, or franchise, whatever. And, in fact, what this bill sought to do throughout the interim is grant them immunity, really, from any kind of lawsuits. And it goes down at the very end of Section 27, in all other cases where a general law can be made applicable, no special law shall be enacted. And friends, I argue that the existing Recreation Safety Act does indeed work. It is general law, and it is applicable, and it works. The other thing I countered that during this interim when we looked at this bill is we go in and we start regulating a whole nother industry, if you will. We go in and we lay down what the ski area should do and should not do, and we open the door to further regulation of an industry that can regulate itself. Indeed, they don't want to go to court. They govern themselves by their best practices. They're not looking for lawsuits because they know that they can put them out of business or drive up their insurance costs. But what we do as a group of legislators, some of us who have never gone skiing, is say that you have to put ropes here or boundaries here or a sign here, and sometimes we don't even know what we're talking about. So we go in and we further regulate the industry. The other thing that this does is this completely opens the door, if we pass this, to other inherent risky sports. For instance, rodeo is big in our state. Is the rodeo or an association of rodeo going to come to this legislature and say, hey, listen, we want to define inherent risk within within the statutes? Or football. Football is big. Are we going to go ahead and is our high school football teams and whatnot going to come in and say, well, football is inherently risky and we need to go ahead and further define what the inherent risks of football are, or hiking, or you name the activity. And so we open Pandora's box and say, well, we need to go in and we need to regulate all of these things and define what inherent risks are. And I would just counter, we have an existing Recreation Safety Act that works, and this bill is not needed. And so for that, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vote no.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to speak on and in favor of the bill. I guess I should preface my remarks by saying I probably spend more time with sticks on my feet than almost all of the people in this chamber for some time, excepting maybe our former speaker, who I hope, as I am talking, is out there skiing. I take a very different approach to this. I will begin by talking about inherent risk. The good representative from House District 1 suggested to me that if skiing required a definition of inherent risk, what about rodeo? And I would say that there's a significant difference in that when you're bull riding, there's not 50 other people in the arena riding bulls with you, and those people riding have varying degrees of skill. Skiing is a fundamentally different sport, and I believe defining that inherent risk is critically important. There have been a number of statements made that I disagree with regarding the need for this bill. One is related to insurance. While there is evidence that some insurance rates have gone down, there is also evidence that some insurance rates have gone up, and the passage of this bill will definitely assist, particularly the smaller ski resorts, from having that rise to their insurance rates. We all tend to think of this in terms of, for instance, the ski resort that I most like to go to with the tram that goes to the top of the mountain. But most of the hills in Wyoming are not like that. They're very small mom-and-pop operations, and dealing with lawsuits is very problematic for them. This will give them some protection. I think it's also important to note, and I call your attention to page 13, lines 12 through 15, where it makes it very clear that if there is negligence, the right to take action against a ski resort is preserved. There is not a piece of this bill that says you have lost your right to take action in case of an injury. I had other points, but they escaped me at the moment. I may come back to speak for a second time. Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I have some concerns about this bill as well. And along with the constitutional issues raised by my good colleague here, one of the questions I could never get answered is why we couldn't do the online waivers for this industry, because testimony during the interim has held that waivers hold up in court and they're actually more substantive as far as exemption from liability, because people have already read what the risks are and they're responsible for that then, and they hold up in Wyoming court. And there are online waiver systems that can be purchased, that basically file that under your driver's license, so it's not a bunch of papers sitting in a filing cabinet. It's probably up in the cloud. It's kind of like how I manage some of my transactions in a retail business. The hesitation on the industry's part was that it takes too much time to fill those out. But I think that in my estimation of this, and I am sympathetic to the small ski areas and all of that, that is a possible option for them besides this bill. The other thing I'd like to address, being in the insurance industry, insurance rates are based on risk management. So if you are managing your resort properly and things are safe, that's probably more likely to make your premiums go down than an action by this body. There's no guarantees that passing this will impact insurance rates. So I'm a no on the bill, and I trust you to use your good judgment. Thank you.
Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm probably in a unique position in that as part of my banking career, I had financed the ski area on the range with snow on it, west of here. And we had to foreclose on that area And I had to try to sell that area. I actually operated it for over a year as a division of the bank. But let me assure you, for these smaller ski areas, getting insurance is extremely difficult. The insurance companies do not want to insure these facilities. So it's extremely important that we try to help these smaller ski areas do whatever we can to help them survive and get insurance. And this bill helps them significantly. So I strongly encourage you to support this bill.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Currently in its form, I cannot support this bill. In a former life of mine in the military, we discussed operational risk management at many times. And one of those items that we discussed in leading up to risk management is hazards and the hazards that are created that are involved in creation of risk as well as mitigation of risk. And this current bill really doesn't talk about the hazards, though it does mention them in page 3, section C, starting on line 2, but it lists those as risks as opposed to hazards, and I'd say that this bill needs some modifications before I could support it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I was on the TRW during the interim and was at these meetings. Some of this has already been stated, but I'm going to say it again. I'm against this bill. Wyoming already has a Recreational Safety Act that has worked well. I guess I worry that if we bring this ski safety act, when do we go to rafting, take care of that issue, horseback riding, and such? In testimony, it was stated there has been only 15 to 20 cases the past 15 years in the western states. So is this really needed? Nationwide, they'd said there's 4 insurance companies that are, and 2 of these cover 90% of the ski runs. It was asked if premiums will come down. They said maybe between 10 and 15%. One ski area said since they had no lawsuits to defend in the past 5 years, they negotiated a 7% decrease already. This shifts responsibility from the ski areas to the skiers. I encourage you to vote against the bill.
Representative Grew.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. I want to talk about a couple of points that have been brought up. As far as the constitutionality of this, and I know there are more learned people to speak to this than I, but I took a look and then consulted some folks, and when we talk about reasonable ways to go about this and reasonable reasons to treat persons the same. You need to treat every group the same. And in this bill, this does that. It meets that standard. There's a case that I can cite to do it, but the constitutionality is clear on this, that by taking this clear definition of the Ski Safety Act and treating all ski areas the same, it is reasonable and it is constitutional. Further, if I can go on, in your inbox you have a letter that from one of our ski areas to our chairman in our committee that talks about some of the issues that they face. And to me, there's a lot of issues around this bill, but at the heart of it, to me, ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, it's very simple. We talk a lot about trying to diversify. We talk a lot about trying to increase our tax base. We talk a lot about this. This is a plan to be able to help small business, plain and simple. We have done so for many businesses in many industries. Some of those industries today are challenged. Tourism is your second largest industry. What we're asking for in this bill, in House Bill 32, is to help the tourism industry and to help small business. Thank you.
Representative Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I guess I have a couple of things that I'll echo what my friend here from the area of the Great Mountains up in the northwest part of the state has said as far as the constitutionality. This does, in fact, label all ski areas. They're all covered underneath this, so that one doesn't have it. And the question that was raised from my friend in the northeast portion of the state mentioned the case that you may preclude yourself from being able to bring civil action. This doesn't preclude that. This actually gives that particular situation more teeth. It gives the courts, which they have asked for, more guidance if there is civil action brought forward. So this gives the guidance and it gives the opportunity for these courts to have a little bit more information and guiding forward. The one thing that I think that is important to make the distinction here is we're talking about, well, are we going to open the door for a few more sports that are a little dangerous or something like that, and we're going to see these guys come in. I think the important distinction here is far more people are on the slopes of our mountains in this state during the winter months than we have rafting, than we have rodeoing. And the amount of man hours that we have in here, it really puts these ski areas at risk. And I think that it's a very, very understandable reason to put this piece of legislation into law, considering the fact that all the other states contiguous to us that have ski areas have enacted this exact same language. This is a very vital piece of information. Now, no, there is no guarantee that this is going to drop insurance rates. I don't think anybody can guarantee that. I think what it does is it gives the opportunity for them to have this little bit of liability removed from the ski areas, and it gives them the capability of negotiating those rates even further. And the last thing I'll say here is we everybody else next to us, everybody else that has these ski areas except South Dakota, has these clauses enacted. They did it for a reason. That reason is they understand that these businesses need to be protected in a certain way. This does not preclude anybody from suing if something happens. It just gives more guidance to the courts, and I think that this is a great piece of legislation. I'm on it for this bill.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because of my 23 years as an attorney, I wasn't going to speak on this, but I can't let some of the things go that have been said. Keeping in mind, I've spent my entire practice defending business, but I really do not like this legislation. The reason I don't like the legislation is because our current statutes have worked very well for this state for all recreational activities. In particular, near and dear to me, the equine activities. Those are horses for the folks where I come from. Okay, and I really don't care if there's 100,000 people in one activity and only 10 in another. The fact of the matter is assumption of the risk is something that is common sense. And that's what our court systems look at. Okay? And if we come in now and we start shifting duties when you read through this legislation that fall outside of that common sense or fall outside of what is the risk associated with that, you are affecting our rights. You're affecting our constitutional rights, our rights to a jury. Now, the thing that concerns me the very most about this that I don't hear that was mentioned by one speaker is the fact that if we come in and give the courts guidance that they've allegedly asked for, if we give them guidance on this particular subject and not on another, are we putting all those other activities at risk? Do we have to come back then and have a special act for equine activities? And rodeo is quasi-equine activities. For rafting, for ATV rentals, for Little League, and then, God forbid, we forget one. Now, things have worked well in this state, and I'll say, you know, they go to this and say, this is for small business. I've got one of these small resorts in my district, and I've got another one very close to me, and they are small resorts.
And the fact of the matter is, I represent a lot of small oil field, or used to, getting out of the practice, but I used to represent a lot of small oil gas service companies. And we, you know, we'd get them started up, and we struggled to go get them insurance and get them their bonding so they could get their master service agreements and go out and work. That's part of getting your business up and running. A promise of maybe we can reduce your insurance premiums later on and maybe that helps our business plan be stronger is not a reason. It's not a reason to vote for this. It's not a solid economic development. So get that component out of your mind. I'm going to say this because we're in committee of the whole. This is nothing more than a bill brought to us by insurance companies to help them have more profits. I'd encourage a no vote.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And since we're on that, I would present to the body that really the problem is the legal system and the way the legal system works, or in some cases doesn't work. And this body defined what assumption of the risk was. It's Wyoming Statute 11123, and it states, any person who takes part in any sport or recreational opportunity assumes the inherent risk of that sport. But it doesn't say what inherent risk is. So that leaves the question open. And the judges in the state of Wyoming have said, okay, that's a jury question. And that's great. That's the way the system is supposed to work. So, for example, talking about the equine cases, there was one that came up, whether or not you get on a horse if the cinch is loose, if that's an inherent risk. And the jury came back and said, yes, that's an inherent risk. But the problem is, and this is wherein the rub lies, that that's not precedent at that point. That case has to go up on appeal. And everybody says, well, I'm going to appeal that decision. But that's not an automatic thing. You have to take it up on appeal on a question of procedure or constitutionality. The appellate court has to accept that case. And then during the appeal process, come back to us and say, okay, if the cinch is loose, that's an inherent risk. And the problem is that let's say that the question becomes, if you walk behind a horse and the horse kicks you, is that inherent risk? Well, that case could be brought today in this city. It could be brought in the southwest corner. It could be brought in the northeast corner and the northwest corner. There could be four cases going on at the same time with the exact same question. And if they're not appealed and we don't get a written decision, there's no precedent. And so that question can keep going on to infinity until we finally get precedent that says, okay, you walk behind a horse, you're an idiot, that's inherent risk. So that's what the problem is that these business owners face and other people face, is that, and that's what they are looking for in this bill, is they're looking to start to define some things so that they don't have to go and wrangle with the same question time and time again. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, I totally agree with the good chairman of Minerals, of Minerals and what he said. We'll say this. If you look at our green statutes and you look at 11123, you will find a whole lot of supplementary notes in that statute. And those statutes, it deals with case law, precedents, all of those kind of things. And again, the system works. You know, one of the things that we did hear in testimony here just recently actually was a skier that was skiing in the northwest part of our state where the mountains are tall. And the testimony was that this individual was sliding down the mountain on her skis and ran into a sign that was in the middle of the run. Now, is that an inherent risk or not? Well, they litigated the case. The case wasn't granted summary judgment because there were some facts of the case, and that's where this thing lies. The facts of each and every individual case are so different in each and every one. And if you want to define inherent risk, boy, you need a list 10 times the size that we have in this current bill, because the facts are so dependent upon each and every individual case, and it turns out that the padding around this sign, because there was padding, but the padding was insufficient. In fact, it was old and didn't meet the specifications of the code anymore. It was given, I guess, in that court testimony that if they were to use a different padding that was up to code, this person likely would not have been paralyzed. And so even with that said, though, the court determined that that was an inherent risk and gave the person had no claim in court. In fact, they litigated that. They went to they appealed the decision, and the appellate court upheld that decision, that that was an inherent risk. The point is that the system works, and we don't need another act, in particular an act that was brought by the insurance industry, to solve this problem. So vote no on this bill.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So let's just be clear who is paying the bills here when this goes to court, because we have insurance policies to cover that when we're sued. And so who is saving money here? I would just pose that question to you, because if you have an accurate business model, you're going to account for your insurance premiums, and those premiums probably get passed on to the consumers of your product or your service. And so let's be clear who we're talking about saving money for. It is the insurance company. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was not in the meetings over the interim, but coming on the committee new this January, we went over this bill pretty intensely in one of our first meetings, and I didn't hear from one insurance company in testimony on this bill. This bill does not absolve any resort, any ski area from negligence. It only helps the court in outlining inherent risk. As a matter of fact, the current Recreation Act does not cover many of the risks that are specific to this sport. I would urge your support of this bill and help our tourism industry. Thank you.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to follow up on a couple of comments and support the comments that were just made, that this bill actually does not come from any industry or entity. It comes from the work of the interim committee. It comes from a legislative effort. And that legislative effort was certainly received input from lots of different folks, but that's a product of us, of the previous legislature, not some nefarious organization, whether named or unnamed. Second, I would direct you actually to the bill, and this lays responsibilities on both the operators of these enterprises and the users. This is not a one side gets all the benefit. This is both have responsibilities under this act, and that way we have some balance. Third, for those that have the concern and maybe don't like this bill, the Standing Committee Amendment actually took out probably the biggest protection that was in the bill, had to do with waivers, and that was stripped from the bill. So I guess I'm a little confused about what the intent is of those that are not in favor of this, because the waiver component was actually probably the greatest protection available, and that was the part that was stripped from the bill. So I guess let's have some clarity in what we're talking about. This puts responsibilities on both parties, both the operator and the skier in this case, and it defines what those are and gives some sideboards. The good representative from the center of the state says that's our job, identify sideboards. He didn't use those words, but I believe that's what his intent was. And finally, probably the biggest protection we had was taken out, good or bad, but it was taken out on behalf of the and so that actually speaks against the arguments being made from my perspective. Thank you for the bill.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was on the interim committee, and what I remember is this. From about the first 15 minutes of discussion on the first day, the point of this bill was to channel more of the decisions to the courts in summary judgments,
and save the money that would be involved for both parties if it goes to trial. That doesn't mean it can't go to trial, but more of the issues could be solved in the first stage of defense. And that was the upshot of the bill, in my opinion. The carve-out thing that's been mentioned, I don't know what to do with that. I assume people would have trouble with that when we got to this body, and some of us are having trouble with that. And I think that's legitimate. I don't think all those other outdoor recreations are suddenly going to come forth wanting protection, but perhaps some of them will. Don't quite know what to do with that. My other comment is in response to the thing that we're saving the insurance company's money. That is not entirely what this is about. These small operators have huge deductibles. And somebody can correct me if they want that heard it differently. I remember the figure $50,000 for a deductible, which they didn't necessarily have that kind of money laying around. And once they get past that, they get protection from the insurance companies, and they're involved. But the deductibles are huge for these little operators.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I stand on in support of this bill. I really wasn't going to get up and speak on it, but then after the various lawyers weighed in, I thought that was a good debate. And so I thought I would bring up that I have one of these small ski areas in my community. And while it's not a great attractant for tourism, it is a great service for the community. And it is a great service for people that come and visit those community members. And we need to keep things like that open in these small communities, these opportunities. And like the good chair of health stated, there's sideboards for both the consumer and the business person in this. I think it's worth continuing. I think this is a good bill. Thank you.
Representative Grew.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just a lowly restaurant owner on my ninth day in this body, official day. I don't have an advanced law degree. I don't have a lot of the knowledge and width and breadth of experience that a lot of people in this room do. But I have watched this group over the years and watched your predecessors. I've heard tell a lot in the good chairman, my friend from the Minerals Committee, brought this up, so I thought I'd mention it. At other times and other places, to help out industries, we have carved out inherent risk in extraction industries, other industries. We've done so before, and it was always done with the intent, as I recall, to help out, to help get those industries on their feet, to make them strong, and to help them help our state and help our citizens. And that's what I think this bill does. I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, other industries and other groups that are behind this. This bill has the support of associations that have, you know, sell food and lodging, have association of communities, have association of business. It also was modeled and taken from similar legislation in a state immediately to the south of us, which is far broader than this legislation. This is a good bill. It may need some tweaks, and I think we can address that as we go. But this is a good bill, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. Lots of this bill I agree with, but what I had questions about, and I'm going to have an amendment drafted. If you go to page 8, it talks about the duties of a skier, and it goes on for about 3 or 4 pages, and I'm walking through these duties. And so if you look at, let me just walk through a few of these. Page 9, Romanette 2, to not embark or disembark from a ski lift except in designated areas. Well, I've done a lot of skiing at those smaller ski areas, and if you've got a rope tow or a Pomo lift or a T-bar, there are places there where we like to hop off. And if it's not roped off and I'm going, well, I don't know, then all of a sudden it's a duty that, and almost like a crime if you do so. Go down to the next one. To not throw or expel any object from a ski lift. So if you throw a snowball or if you spit or if you drop a glove, you know, that's expelling an object from a ski lift tower. I'm going, well, why is there a duty to do that? And every ski area I know has a tree where people throw their Mardi Gras beads and everything else onto it, and sometimes there's underclothing on it, and that's kind of a special tree. And I'm going, well, now there's a duty, you can't throw off the Mardi Gras beads anymore. And I'm going, well, what the heck does that mean? And then you go down to number five, to not engage in conduct on or near a ski lift that may contribute to or cause injury to any person. Well, that means if you're in the way, or if you're skiing and your ski falls off and you roll in and then run into somebody, you're violating your duty. That doesn't make sense to me. Go down to the next one, to a number Romanet I on B, to know the range of a skier's own ability to negotiate a ski trail and to ski within the limits of the skier's ability. That tells me you can't have any beginners on a ski lift on it, because beginners don't know what their ability are, and the only way they're going to figure that out is to get up there and put their skis on and start going down the slope. How would you know what the heck your abilities are? And you got a duty to know it? That doesn't make sense to me. Go to page 10, Romanet 4, to maintain control of the skier's speed and course at all times. Well, how in the heck can you do that if you fall down and you're rolling down the hill? You have a duty not to roll down the hill at a speed faster than you fell. That doesn't make sense to me, and it means you can't fall. But go to the next page. Well, you get my point. I don't know why we're giving duties to folks in addition to setting up liabilities and risks of hazard. So my bill will come in and eliminate that section about duties of the skiers. I think that's common sense. Anyway, food for thought.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Allen's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 32 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Pursuant to... We have to do it. Yeah. Let's just do a division. All those in favor, stand. All of those opposed, stand, please. The vote is 28 aye, 28 no. And I vote aye. House Bill 32 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Congratulations. Majority floor leader Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2:30.
You have heard the majority floor leader's motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Motion carries. The House is in recess. Oh, I'm sorry. Committee announcements. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue Committee number 3 will be meeting Monday morning at 7:30 in Jonah Room L54. We'll be discussing House Bill 155, Alcohol Administration Revisions, House Bill 127, Wind Energy Production Tax. And note the change in room and the change in time.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee education number 4 will meet 10 minutes after this recess in Jonah H38 for House Bill 101, 126, and 133, and we will meet Monday upon adjournment at the afternoon on 139, 159, and 189. Thank you.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10 will meet H37 to consider 3 bills 10 minutes upon recess. House Bill 111, County Collective Accounts. House Bill 84, Workers' Compensation, Delinquent Employers. House Bill 171, Unemployment Insurance, Delinquency Contributions. We will again meet on Monday, the 23rd, upon adjournment to consider 2 bills, House Bill 156, Involuntary Commitment, Emergency Detention Amendments, and House Bill 164, Professional Licensing Boards, Telemedicine, Telehealth. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet Monday upon noon recess in L54 to hear the following 5 bills: House Bill 56, House Bill 161, House Bill 175, House Bill 152, and House Bill 114.
Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning, January 23rd, H37. The bills we'll be considering are House Bill 107, Title of Chiropractors, House Bill 141, Daylight Savings Time Exemptions, House Bill 153, Parental Rights, and House Bill 98, LLC Dissolution Distributions.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, will meet Monday, January 23rd at 8 a.m. in H38 to consider HJ004, Anti-Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction Resolution, and County Resolution Feeding Wildlife, House Bill 69.
The House will rise and sit again at 2:30.